Hello and welcome to the Boost Over Ball podcast, your go-to place for everything Rocket League with your hosts, K-Cube, AJ Binky, and Red. So lean forward, lock in, and get ready to go Boost Over Ball.
Hello and welcome back to the Boost Over Ball podcast. To listeners new and old, hello and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Kyle, K-Cube, and today I'm joined by Red. What's up, man?
What's up? Good to be here. Ready to have another good episode.
Can you believe it? It's finally time for Major Number 2. It starts on the 20th, which, at, you know, as we're recording this on Tuesday, so that's Thursday. So 2 days until RLCS action. I can't wait to watch some more car soccer.
So it's all I'm going to be doing while I'm working. Thankfully, work remotely. Going to have pull it up on the second monitor. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, so on today's episode, we'll be previewing the London Major, giving you our thoughts, running through a little bit of our predictions. We're not going to like fully talk about those. We'll tweet those out. We'll give a little bit of insight into what should be an incredible return to the Copper Box. Then we'll finish off with some Rocket League game news, some Reds roster rumors, and finish off with a question in overtime. So without further ado, are you ready to jump right in?
Let's do it.
Heck yeah. So the first thing I think that we need to talk about is for London, for this iteration of Rocket League, for this season of RLCS, is competitive representation, right? And so, like, the biggest talking point for me, at least, is no Carmine Core.
Yeah, I would agree. That's probably the biggest talking point around everything at this point regarding London. That, and then there's probably one more, but yeah, it's... it's weird not seeing, you know, a team that was argued to be a top three team in the world not be even top four of their region for a major event. So I don't know how I feel about it. What about you?
It's tough, right? So, like, their play this split has, like, they did not deserve to make it based on their play. However, like, realistically, they lost one more series than they were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because even if they just make that major or that regional that they missed, this isn't even a conversation, right? Because, you know, Vitality or Oxygen took their spot in this regional or in this major. Jeez, why I just can't talk today. But, you know, missing out on those points from open qualifier number 5 is really the big one, right? And they did not perform as well as we know that they can in either of the other ones, right? So in this format, they're really, really stressing consistency and good results, right? So you look at, like, my, you know, epitome of, like, this format fits them very well is Space Station. In my personal opinion, at least, right? So, like, Space Station, you know, 12 points, 16 points, 8 points, right? Low floor or a high floor and a low ceiling. Like, they did enough to get in, and that's it, right? But Carmine Core, not so much. Like, after having, you know, winning all the regionals in the first split and, you know, missing out on one in the second, you know, I still think they're one of the best teams in the world. I don't think you can confidently say that the best teams in the world are the top 16 teams in the world are represented at this event. So I think that, you know, a lot of the format issues that we've had this season were based on when the Blast Epic Games partnership was announced. So I think that, you know, at least the Hopium is telling me that, you know, wait to pass judgment until after we hear about the next RLCS season, because they could change up a lot of things now that they have, you know, a full off season to, like, make changes and really, like, make it better.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely have probably the same mindset of, I can't fully judge the situation until next season. Yeah, so obviously some things they've been a little more receptive to on feedback, other things not so much. But again, it's a new organization kind of running the show, so you got to give them some benefit of the doubt that they will learn once they get a season under their belt. So I'll be, you know, sucks to not see the blue wall we probably will still see the blue wall at Landon, but not cheering for the boys. So
In fact, you know, cheering against any team that is going to be playing Oxygen, I would imagine.
Yeah, specifically that, yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, we'll see what happens come Worlds, because that's the biggest implication right now for Europe at this point.
It is. So, next in line for me, at least, in the same, like, conversation is the teams that are heading to London that are already there, quite frankly. But basically, we have six EU teams that are headed to London.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have the four teams that have qualified: BDS, Vitality, Gentle Mates, and Oxygen. And we have Team Mobula, which is an all Spanish team led by VK Salen, that's taking the SSA region spot, and Gaming Gladiators from APAC, which is Maxu, Virtuoso, and Tho. And that's a full EU team. Taking the APAC spot. So, you know, I think that, you know, this kind of flows into, like, our next conversation, which is, like, talking about established versus emerging regions. And, like, how impactful and, like, detrimental to the regions do you think it is that you have basically just a full team of imports, you know, representing every, like, representing the two most minor regions in Rocket League?
Yeah, I love hate relationship with this. I've said it before in previous episodes. I hope that this pushes those regions to improve at a faster rate. You know, I there has been a lot of beef that we've seen where people are upset with Team Mobula, especially about them representing but not representing SSA. Part of me is like, you know, I hope this pushes the teams to improve more. Another part of it is, you know, this happens in other sports too. You see it a lot in actual soccer. You know, these big name players going across the globe to go play for teams for high dollar contracts, where they can be more successful for less competition. You know, you have Messi coming to MLS. You got Ronaldo going to Saudi to play in the Saudi League. You see it all the time, so it adds a touch of realism to it. But I'm sure that's not going to be met very well, especially since it's kind of outside the norm most of the time of teams that will represent their regions.
Yeah, and you know, they talked about it on Chalkedcast too, and that's like their kind of like train of thought was something that was really intrigued me. Was, you know, I think, you know, you can, it would be hard to go to right away just because of the level of competition that we currently have in Rocket League and the teams that are already, like, you know, maybe just grandfather people in or, you know, whatever. But having at least one, you could do at least one or at least two people from the region on the team at all times. And then if you play in a region for two full seasons, then you can be considered the, you know, in that region, so to speak, right? So, like, establishing, like, residency, basically. So, like, Maxu, I think, did move to APAC. I think he lives there permanently, and this is his, you know, this is his second season competing in APAC. And so, like, next season, like, under, like, this, you know, fictitious rule that we've talked about, that Chalkcast has talked about, he would officially be an APAC player, right? So then, like, you know, though is their import right now, same with Vert. And then, you know, you could, like, slowly move that way. And I think that would be a way to maybe, like, help incentivize some competition. Because, like, recently a lot of players from SSA have come out and said that they feel demotivated. And, like, they don't really want to grind the game or play because, like, the only possible way that they can make a major, make Worlds, is by, you know, winning in their region, because there's only one region spot. And it's just being taken by a team of transfers from EU. So, you know, I think that, like, there's two sides of the coin, like you said. I think it either, you know, either motivates you to get better and try and beat them, or it demotivates you and has the opposite effect. So, you know, I hope that something can get figured out.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're the ones that made it the distance. So let's see if they can break the minor region curse, specifically SSA and or specifically SSA, because I don't think they've won a series against a non SSA team at this point. So,
yeah, I know they did beat Elevate after Copenhagen, But in a show match. Yeah. But so then, like, this kind of brings us, like, to the main point that I have in my argument for this is, you know, like, in your opinion, which regions do you think could realistically win a major or a world championship as of right now?
Realistically win a major at the major level, realistically?
Yes.
I think the regions that can win right now are NA, EU, obviously. I think that's kind of assumed for major and worlds at this point.
Yep.
But the other regions, at the major level, I could see MENA, specifically Falcons.
Yep.
I've been hating on Sam for a while, and I think I might have to follow through. I still don't think Furia could go out, or any Sam team go out and win a major yet.
Well, so here's my I kind of agree with that, but I think it's like MENA, NA, and EU are the most easy. They're out of the conversation. They're done, right? So you're left with OCE, APAC, Sam, and SSA.
That's it, yeah. Or it's SSA, yeah.
And so, like, I could hear an argument for Sam, right? If Fury is peaking, if they have a fantastic day, if they get a good draw.
Yeah.
Like, they could do it. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
But I think
for OCE, for Sam, and for SSA, I don't think so. Even if they have a fantastic day, if they get a great draw, I still don't think that they're doing that. Like, I think best case scenario for OCE is they sneak into top eight.
Yeah, I'd agree. Best case, if they somehow had like a crazy good draw in Swiss and get like one or two upsets, I could see like Power making it in there.
Yeah, like maybe they come out first round and they get a big upset because they like smacked a team in the mouth really quick and they couldn't recover in a best of five.
Yeah.
But like a best case scenario for Game and Gladiators and for Team Mobula, in my opinion, is winning a singular series.
Yeah, I would say of those two teams, Gamer would probably have the better shot at it just because that roster they have now. But yeah, Mobula, your ceiling is one with series win. Gamer, your ceiling is like one series win and like maybe a close second series.
So like,
otherwise, I don't see either of those teams ever getting close to making it out of Swiss.
Yeah, I would agree. And so then that leaves the point, right? So, like, OCE is, I don't want to say always going to be like this, but they're at a distinct disadvantage. It's the smallest, like, player base-sized region as of right now. And I don't know that that really changes, right? So, like, the talent that they have is the talent that they have, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you inspire some new kids to play the game and they pick it up and they do really well and, you know, they can kind of, you know, get over this hump. I personally think Team Power, this iteration of Power, is one of the best teams that OCE has produced in a while. But like we said, and, you know, a little bit of a spoiler on my you know, bracket, I don't have them making a top eight. I have them just missing out in round five.
Yeah,
but
I mean, realistically, you can say spoiler, but I don't think it's much of a spoiler at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. But, you know, I just, like, Team Mobula was able to make pretty quick work of Limitless in SSA. And I think the only way that Mobula makes Worlds is if they win this event, which I don't think is going to happen. So I think we will get to see Limitless back on the world stage. But, you know, this Gladiators team, this is a team that's going to be at Worlds. This is a team that's going to, you know, compete here in London. So it's I'm very intrigued to see what they can do, despite like they're a minor, like, quote unquote, emerging region or minor region, but it's a team of mostly EU players, right? So, but like, you know, I think though could compete on a top 16 EU team for sure. I think he's a good player. I'm not sure about Virtuoso and Maxiu as of right now. They have before, but, you know, I still think that, you know, these emerging regions are kind of being, I don't know if the regions are being taken advantage of, but I like, people are definitely like using the lack of import transfer rules in their favor, right? That's like that's the only way VK Salen and his team are able to make a major is by going to another region and doing so, because they're certainly not going to do it in EU.
Agreed.
So, But I, you know, that's like, I don't want to get, you know, too doom and
gloom. Weeds.
Yeah, too in the weeds, too doom and gloom about that stuff, because, you know, this is what we have for this year, right? It is 16 teams. It is 16 teams for World. There's no wild card. So, you know, I think that you could eventually, you know, establish a better system, like, you know, the, you know, SSA and APAC are qualifying through wild card. So, like, even if you do have an import team, they still have to fight with, because, you know, I think Mobula maybe competes with, you know, the, you know, maybe it's a little bit, you know, more entertaining for them, right? If they have to play, you know, the fifth through seventh seed for NA, right? Like, that's maybe something where I could say, okay, maybe they get a series out of that. Like, yeah. Maybe playing like a Shopify or like a Limitless, or a Luminosity is what I meant to say. But yeah, so, but like we talked about earlier at the beginning of the episode, you know, we can't really like comment on the format until we see the format for next year.
Yep, just another good old waiting game.
Indeed, but both of us have done our predictions. We've done the spreadsheet. You know, I'll put the link to the spreadsheet in the episode description. If you haven't done yours yet, I'd highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And then tweet at us, and you know, we'll see how everyone does. But how many teams from each region do you have making the making your top eight?
Okay.
So I guess let's do an easy one. We can do them at the same time. APAC, zero.
None. Zero.
SSA?
Zero.
Yep. MENA?
I got one.
Me too. Okay. OCE?
Zero.
Yep. Okay. So now we get into the fun ones, right? So for Sam,
I have zero from Sam.
Okay, and I have one. And, okay, let's do EU.
EU, we're calling the land buff, Landon, you know.
Yep.
We're going to go all four European teams.
Top eight. I also have all four. And last but not least, we got NA.
NA, you know, NA hopeful. I'm gonna say I have three of my teams being NA.
Okay, I have two, and most notably, our difference is instead of my third NA team, I have a Sam team, and then for you, it's vice versa. So
we shall see. I hated on Sam last major. Furia proved me wrong in Swiss, but then just kind of fell apart. So I'm curious to see what happens this time.
I am as well. I'm very excited for some of the series. Like we talked about earlier, we have, you know, we've both done our, and AJ has as well, we've done our Swiss and our playoff bracket predictions. We will tweet those out from the podcast account. You know, make sure to go and check those out. I'll put the link for the spreadsheet on how to do it, how to make your predictions, in the episode description. We'll tweet that out as well, so people can find it. If you haven't been able to so far, make sure when you do finish your bracket, tweet at us, and we'll retweet you and, you know, take a look at your bracket. But with that, you know, we have our first round matchups. We're 2 days away. Which matches from the first round are you most excited for?
So I think I got a top three. Of the eight that I'm excited. The most excited, the one I'm most excited for is Falcon Space Station. That matchup is going to, I hopefully will be great as long as Space Station shows up like they have been. I think that's going to be a great series. My other one that I'm most really excited for, we saw it before, I think we've seen this before, Furia OG, you know, mechanics versus consistency, right? So curious to see how that rolls out again. And then finally, Gen G Secret. We know Gen G's had some troubles getting going early on in Swiss. And, you know, I could see Secret trying to make a sneaky attempt at an upset there. But those are the big three that I'm excited for. The rest of them, I think, will go as expected.
I would agree with you on that one. And I agree with your... with your top three matches. Although I do kind of think that Power Oxygen will be a sneaky good series as well. I think it's going to be, it's, you know, Oxygen did not make the last international major. They were kind of sitting on the sidelines, and they have a new roster, even though it is Joyo, right? He has a lot of experience. He's been on the stage before. It's still a different, still different ball game playing in front of your home crowd. And I think Power comes out quick in that series. And I think Oxygen has to recover. So I think that that's why it will be good, similar to, like, you know, what happened with Carmine Core last major. But I think you're right. I think, you know, with Space Station, with OG, with the, you know, kind of the third and fourth seed in NA, I think that they have a really high floor and a lower ceiling, right? They're both very methodical. They're both very stout and responsible defensively. They're not going for, I mean, LJ can peak, right? And, you know, so can some, so, you know, people on, you know, JNaps or Noli or Calm from OG. But I think for the most part, it's a really mechanical, flashy team versus a really defensively responsible stalwart in from NA. So I think both of those matches will be exciting to see, because Furia definitely like to be flashy, mechanical, offensive team, as do Falcons, right? All three of those players are stupendous. So I, for those reasons, I think those two series are going to be incredible to watch. I think you hit the nail right on the head.
All right. But yeah, that's about it for our preview into Landon. Again, be sure to tweet out us your guys' predictions, and we'll have a nice little competition to see if we do any better than we have in the past, which is not a great bar to go above.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty good at regionals, but the international events still kind of throw us for a loop.
Yeah, we're working on it. You know, baby steps.
Yeah. We're a little bit behind on this one, but it was announced in a tweet from Rocket League, from their main account, that along with improving matchmaking quality for all players, we know server performance and DDoS match disruptions are top of mind for many of you. We're working towards the needle fixes for these DDoS disruptions. We're also midstream on changes to our server fleet. We'll share more on both of these when fixes and changes are complete. We appreciate the community's patience while we work on these issues. So I'll let you go first on this one. What are your thoughts on this tweet? And I would imagine that DDoSing is more of a problem in your lobbies than it is in mine.
Yeah, I've experienced DDoSing a couple of times, but nothing as crazy as the pros and everything I've seen. But you know, my general thoughts on this, like, yes, we appreciate the communication, but this is a tweet that could have came out a while ago. I mean, All the community wanted was a update, was that, hey, we acknowledge this issue, we know it's a thing, and we're working on it. That could have been released a month and a half, 2 months ago. But now, we're just releasing it now, and there's no ETA, there's no nothing, just that we're working on it. Like, yes, yay for communication, it's what we asked for, but this could have come sooner. even if it literally just could have been this. It could have been, hey, we know this is a problem. We're working on it. We have no updates at this time, but trust us, we're working on it. Like, that could have just been it right there, and the community would have been much happier. So, you know, good on them for finally acknowledging it, but I feel like it should have happened sooner.
I agree. We've talked about this since, you know, last offseason for RLCS, right? Communication is key. That's all that the player base, that's all that the community, that's all that the RLCS fans want, right? Like, as a whole, a day late and a dollar short seems to be the motto of their PR communication strategy, and I don't understand. You're right. This tweet could have been sent out a month ago when these problems first started. Hey, we're aware of the DDoSing issue. We're working on it. Like, most rational people understand that this isn't like, oh, just let me go into the server room and flip the lag switch back off. Like, there's going to be a lot to it, right? They have to figure out ways to get around it. And, like, there's a DDoSing plugin for Bacchus Mod, I've seen. Like, it's something that can easily be done, you know, on a player side aspect. So they have to figure out a fix or a way around it. So, like, it's not an easy fix, and we understand that. But, like you said, this could have been tweeted out a month ago, 2 months ago, when people first started to talk about this. Right? Like, even just acknowledging it, like, hey, we understand, we're very sorry that, you know, that this is happening to you guys. We know it's a problem, and we're doing everything we can to solve it. We don't have a timeline yet, or, you know, no estimated time of, you know, fix yet. I mean, that, you know, quite frankly, stays my worry and increases my confidence in them, because, you know, they are listening to us. They do see what we're going through, the problems that we're having.
Yeah, they're doing the right thing, but they're still just below the bar. If they can figure out that they needed to respond sooner and that kind of things. Like, legit, the community's not asking for much. They just want acknowledgement that you have seen it and that you are working on it. That's all you have to say. You don't have to give an update. You don't have to get an ETA. You don't have to get a timeline. Just say, hey, we saw it.
We see you.
Yeah.
You know, like Pitbull said, if you're going through tough times, been there, done that.
Yep.
So, but this is the same, like, we're beating the same dead horse, right? A day late, a dollar short, good communication, but a little bit late. We've been running on some good communication from them, you know, unprompted. And so here's our step back that we predicted at the beginning of the season, right? So two steps forward, one step back is still one step forward. So hopefully we're still continuing to move in the right direction. So again, appreciate the tweet, but a little bit late. But now on to, I guess depending on how you look at it, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a positive. But in my opinion, positivity for the sustainability of Rocket League, the sustainability of esports, is the partnerships and collabs that are currently out in the store. First off, Riptide Rivals, with some cool decals and wheels and, you know, different packs that you can buy. We have the Metallica Jaeger bundle, selling all the different painted Jaegers, Metallica decals, goal songs, banners, titles, all that stuff. We also have the Landon decal pack, which was just announced, and coming later this week is the Adidas Football Frenzy pack too. So a lot of partnerships and collabs that are either happening or are like coming down the pipeline. You know, what are your thoughts on either individually or as a whole?
I mean, the partnerships, collabs, it's been interesting with Rocket League because there's some where it's like, oh wow, this is really cool, and there's others where it's like, what? Why specifically them? I know, like, seeing the Metallica pack, it's like, you know, that wasn't on the bingo board, but it's cool.
Exactly.
I would love to see them bring back a more, like, soccer teams. You know, they've had the Puma pack, which had, like, Man City, Borussia Dortmund. I would love to see more of the, like, actual teams. You know, they got the NFL side of things.
I'd love
to see more Premier League.
I believe some of those are coming. Right, so Puma does the AC Milan, Inter Milan,
yeah.
Man City. There are some that Adidas does for soccer, for football, that are coming in this pack, from my understanding.
Okay, yeah, I would love keep seeing those, and the teams that designed the previous ones, keep them, keep the same designer, please, because they look really good. My one gripe with the Landon decal pack is there's a lot going on. It looks good, but like you look at it too long, my eyes start to go crossed. It's a lot happening on it. And I think the general consensus of the community usually is simple is better. But I still like it. I'm not saying that's the killer for me. I still like the decal. I might invest in it. But overall, more sponsorships, partnerships are always better. So keep it coming.
Agreed. And they have actually just released some of the additional information. RLS's 9th birthday, and so the decals that will be included in this challenge pack are Wales, Scotland, Hungary, Italy, Spain, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Peru, Venezuela, and I believe that is it. But also there will be F50s, an F50 decal, like Adidas F50, the soccer, the shoes. And mm-hmm. There's some other, you know, paint finishes, trails, boosts, and wheels that are going to come with that. But a lot of new country decals, I think, kind of in partnership with World Football and Euro 2024, which is happening right now. So that would be, that's my guess for the Football Frenzy pack.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, they've gotten better with some of their stuff. Now, if they can get a better design team for the end of season rewards, then we're cooking. we're cooking.
Yeah, or announce that all proceeds from do you know what the, and this is something that I'd have to look up. I don't know the support a creator.
Oh, I'm trying to remember how much that is. Let me see if I can find it.
Although the Island Creator supported creator programs are both Epic payout opportunities, Epic takes 95% split. So
okay, it sounds like it's a 5%.
Yeah, 5% split. So yeah. I personally think something that Epic could do that, you know, basically doesn't really change the current model that they have, make a creator code for the major. Make a creator code for Worlds. Sell the bundle, but say, you know what? If you want to increase the prize pool for this event, use this support a creator code for the month of June until the event, and or you know the month of May and the month of June leading up to this event, and all the, you know, the 5% from all the proceeds that you spend in the item shop just go directly into the prize pool, and they, you know, they supplement the winner, right? It's like the winner gets the rest of the prize money, whatever that may be.
Just the major related decal pack you have, just already have it be that. there's definitely not a shortage in items in the item shop and transactions for cosmetic items in Rocket League. Just have the decal pack for each major event. Have some of that go to the prize pool. It would make it so much better.
I mean, I still think you could continue to do what you're doing, right? But make the support or the creator code for the major. Right, so you buy the major decal items, you buy any items in the store for the month of June, that money goes towards the prize pool. So, but I mean, we've talked about this before with like the TI, the International for Dota. It's a, you know, almost entirely user generated prize pool, and their lowest prize pool has been $10 million. So, you know, but they have a bigger player base. They have more items that you can buy. You know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think that there's certainly a pretty core group of Rocket League players that, like, you know, if 5-10% of the money that they spent in the item store was going to the RLCS prize pool, they'd probably buy more things. They probably wouldn't just use Alpha Console or Bacchus Mod to put the items on them. So, you know, I think that there's certainly some ideas that could be had to increase the prize pool and to increase, you know, transactions for them, which at the end of the day, like, increases their bottom line as well. So, like, you know, I think realistically it's a win-win scenario if they do that, but, you know, it's not up to me, unfortunately.
Yep, we're just two guys behind a microphone chatting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's now time for everyone's favorite part of the episode. We actually have some roster rumor news to go on. You want to take us away?
Yes, sir. Let's go. Rad's roster rumors. I'm sure some of you have heard of these already. The spiciest one we have today, Loud Esports, with a very volatile entry to Rocket League. Loud Esports, if you didn't hear, joined Rocket League, stating they were going to compete in the World Cup that is going on, formerly known as Gamers 8. And they acquired the roster of Erased, which was PJ, Luck, and Davitrox, with Fars as the coach. However, that same day, hours later, it was found out that a member of the Loud roster, Luck, had said some not so great things on, not so great things being some racist remarks and other comments that we won't get too much into. But that roster was then dropped 5 hours later. I checked Liquipedia because I wanted to see what the timeline was, because I'm pretty sure it's the same day. They were picked up at 16:06 UTC and were dropped 21:41 UTC. So 5 hours and 35 minutes later. And Loud then acquires the formerly known as Hero Base roster, drops Sad and Klaus with Grovel as the coach. Any comments, Kyle, before I move on with the rest of my roster rumors? I feel like this is a pretty big one to talk about here.
Yeah, so first off, what an entrance to the scene. Entrance, then departure, then entrance again to the scene, I should say. But PJ tweeted, and, you know, Lawler talked about it, but PJ said, you know, speedrunning speedrunning getting kicked from a roster. Not sure what I'm going to do. He's contemplating retirement, I believe. Pending more org support.
I know Luck retired. The one that made the comments retired. So I could
see. He deleted his Twitter.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lesson for everybody out there in this. Be mindful of what you say. Don't be rude. just be a decent human being and things will usually go well for you.
I mean, it's kind of interesting though that like the different levels of it, right? So like they get picked up and immediately dropped and he deletes his Twitter and he's done from Professional Rocket League. But, and you know, to let me preface this, I don't know what he said. And I don't fully know the context of what Nuepo said, but Nuepo is still competing in APAC. Or in MENA, jeez. So take that with a grain of salt, and you know, interesting to see the dichotomy between the two somewhat similar situations.
Yeah. I think the only difference there between Nuepo staying and Luck retiring is that arguably Nuepo is a far better Rocket League player. And so even if he, the higher skill you are, we see this in sports today as well. The higher skill you are at a sport, the more, unfortunately, the more flexibility you have. If you do something, you don't fall as hard. Man. Right.
I mean, the best example I've heard recently is the NFL. It's not the Hall of Good Guys.
Yeah, it's, yeah. There's been plenty of people in the NFL that have gone on to be, some of the greatest football players out there. That doesn't mean they're the greatest people out there.
Yeah.
So.
It's a fair point.
Anyways, moving on from Loud Esports, after they made their very loud entry to Rocket League. Repi retires from competitive RL, another retirement. He was considered one of the founding fathers of South American Rocket League, so he will be missed. But, I can say this about myself. Your age gets up there, you start, retirement starts looking pretty nice. another retirement as well, Hibs, not Gibbs, not the caster, Hibs announces his retirement as well. And then finally, with our last couple ones, we have some franchises parting ways with their roster. Luminosity, this one hurts to say, has left Rocket League, or they've parted ways. It hurts. As a big LG guy. So hopefully, I would love to see them come back. I'm sure the squad, the Reddles boys, will they'll find another org. I can't see them staying orgless for long. M80, we kind of saw this one coming. They are set to part ways with their whole roster. The M80 roster, having a pretty controversial season where they are expected to be a top eight team, easily a top eight team, if not a top four team in North America. And well, they made top eight and that was it.
And only eight.
And only top eight. So, I believe, I don't know why I can't think of the M80 roster at this time.
Nas, AJ, and that's right. Jory is.
I know Jory said he was going back to EU. I'm not sure about Nas. And then I'm sure AJ will find his way around on the roster. Because that entire team is still arguably very good players. Could easily see them finding the way onto another bubble team roster and trying to make a run that way. So best of luck to them and all the other teams that have been dropped. Rule One, another heartbreaking one here. Rule One ceases operations. They didn't just leave Rocket League there. They are gone. They are non-existent. So that sucks to see, especially for, Squishy Muffins, Sunless Khan. It sucks to see that org kind of part ways after having such a monumental entrance and being a kind of the underdog crowd favorite for a lot of times. So it sucks to see that for them, but, sometimes that's just how it goes. And finally, another team leaving Rocket League, Detonator, exits Rocket League along with the former Detonator player Mikan, or Mikan, I'm sorry if I butchered your name, retiring from competitive Rocket League as well. So a lot of people retiring, a lot of people orgs leaving Rocket League.
But you know, with how this season is set up, I can't say I'm surprised. If you don't make Major 1 and you don't make Major 2, well, your season's over and you get like a 7-month off season. So
yeah, like, realistically, it's 6 months until they announce the next season for RLCS, like at minimum, right? It's like beginning of January, just like this season. So like, why, if you're an org, especially an org that maybe wants to make changes or, you know, grab a new roster, why are you going to continue to pay your players through the off season when they can't really compete for you?
Yep. And there's not enough, you know, there's been some minor tournaments announced, like some 2v2 tournaments and 1v1 tournaments out there, but there's been nothing substantial enough that those teams realistically can financially stay. So it's unfortunate to see, but I'm sure some of those names we will see back eventually.
Oh, from what I had seen, I believe for Luminosity, I think they have no plans to leave Rocket League. They're just, you know, they said, you know, they'll be back. So I hope for their sake, for our sake, that they do come back, because, and I hope they bring back Spaceman and Corelli, because those team streams were, again, some of the best that we've ever seen.
Absolutely. All right. And that's going to wrap it up for Red's roster rumors. Again, since we're nearing the end of the season here, you'll be hearing less and less from me regarding roster rumors until the offseason really hits and we start seeing all the new player signings happen. So don't worry, I'll be back. But I believe it is time for some overtime.
It is. And we got a question from SeanShip1 on Twitter. He said, do you think they should keep coming back to the same stadiums for LANs, or do you think they should mix up the locations a bit?
I think, you know, my answer to that question, yes. I think they should keep on coming back to some. Obviously, you have some historic sites that we're coming back to at this point. Landon, Copper Box, it is, you know, one of the first, like, really...
Maybe the Mecca of RLCS?
Yeah, the Mecca of RLCS, really. So you can always come back there. You know, we're coming back to Dickie's Arena for the second time for Worlds. I think that one was more of RLCS had ran out of there for Worlds previously, so it's probably the easiest for Blast to organize since they already have probably some precedent and plans of operation there. But I think, you know, continuing to mix up the stadiums for the LANs would be great. I know, you know, Boston was fantastic. It was a hockey rink, which, I mean, it worked so well. So I would love to keep seeing stuff like that where they're including actual stadiums. Continuing to visit different areas of the countries they are hosting in. So, you know, with North America, making sure you hit West Coast, East Coast, Midwest could use a little more love, in my opinion.
Please.
You know,
please.
Even Europe, Chicago. Continuing to spread the love in Europe as well. I don't think there can be any wrongdoing with mixing up stadiums.
I think a SAM major would be sick, too.
Yeah, SAM, I think, would be great. You would obviously need to make sure you're choosing wisely on the spot. But this, I think, true. You know, you throw SAM in one of the, like, indoor, like, soccer stadiums or whatnot. Oh, yeah. It would be electric.
But, you know, I think... For the most part, this season, and I don't know, I don't work for Blast, I don't work for Epic, right? But this is just my thinking and my theories. The major locations and the World Championship locations this year were chosen for one reason and one reason only, and that is familiarity. The Copenhagen Major took place the weekend after a CSGO event, and Blast also runs that. Major number 2 is the Copper Box, which they've been to before. They can reuse some of the graphics or retouch up some of the graphics. They've been there before. They've worked with the vendors before. They know how to rent it out. And, you know, most recently, the last NA World Championship was at Dickie's Arena. That was a fantastic event for Rocket League. They've been there and they've done that before. It's just easy. So, like, you have to think, when they announced the Blast partnership, it was like a month, not even, of turnaround time before RLCS started. And so they were really scrambling to kind of get everything ready, get everything together, get all the, you know, all their ducks in a row for the majors, for the Worlds. So I think for no other reason than timing, I think that they had to do something that they've done before and that would be easier for them to put on. So I would expect next season for there to be some more interesting and unique locations, places that they haven't been to before, and, you know, more importantly, stadiums that we haven't seen before. So, you know, for that, at least the hopium is there.
I agree. Looking forward to, obviously looking forward to the rest of the season, but I'm hoping, don't let the community down, Blast. I a lot of people believe in you guys, so keep up the great work, and, you know, keep the good pace for next season.
Keep on keeping on.
Yep.
But do you have anything else you want to add about Rocket League news, partnerships and stuff like that, roster rumors, Landon, anything like that?
Nothing at that I can think of. I mean, I just, Thursday, please hurry up and get here. I am so ready to sit here and watch Rocket League for a crazy amount of hours.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. So with that, we would like to thank you so much for listening. We'd like to remind you to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, join our Discord, and rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts, as it really helps us out. Also, make sure to check out our Twitch, our TikTok, and our merch store. Those t-shirts, 16 different colors, 2 different logos, they're comfort colors. They're extremely comfortable and really nice. All of these links and more can be found on our website at boostoverball.com. And from us here on the show, as always, remember to choose Boost Over Ball.
Thanks for listening to the Boost Over Ball podcast. Make sure to check out our website at boostoverball.com.